Blog
Hey, what's
Talk
up,
Radio.
Party People? Yo, what's up, Party People? This your boy Lee with Lee and Keys Real Talk. Signing in, coming at you one more again. My man Keys, he's pulling the lead tonight. He's running a little late, but it's all good because I'm going to hold him down. What's up, Keys?
I think it started early. I was here. I think it started a minute early because I was in here.
Yeah, man. So, it's your boys. We back in the house tonight. We ready to do it. I'm a little amped tonight. I don't know why, but I'm a little amped. I think I'm amped because Toronto is getting the brakes beat off them by Cleveland, and I really don't want to see the Cavs in the finals again because they just don't have a chance of winning. So I'm just a little amped up about this. So, what up, Keith? Holler at your boy, man. Get my spirits back up, man.
I know they played at 6 o'clock. The game's over?
Man, it's 128-108 Cleveland.
Cleveland's they about to win?
Cleveland's winning by 20.
Yeah, bro, I don't know. That's I don't know what they've been doing this year, but if I know about that Toronto Raptors team is this one thing, is that they only seem to shine when they're at home. So the fact they just lost, because they played at home tonight, didn't they?
Two. Yeah, they just lost
so
two
they
at
just
home.
Lost, they just lost two in a row at home. They might get swept, bro. I hate to say it. They might get swept. If they can't even what? Get the momentum going at home, that's when they're supposed to win. If you remember the last time, they lost in four versus Cleveland last year. The year before that, the two games that they won versus Cleveland was both at home, if I remember correctly. That's when they seem to do good. And when they play away, they get killed. So the next two games be at Cleveland, bro, this might be a sweep. That's my prediction at this point. I was expecting the Raptors.
It ain't even going to be a sweep. Forget the broom. Cleveland is going to bring the vacuum cleaner out on these clowns because they haven't even showed up, man. And the bad part is I'm watching the game and I'm like, yo, Coach Casey, your starters ain't getting it done, man. Put the bench guys in. They play with more heart. Man, these dudes ain't even, man. Man, forget this. All right, man. Hey, so how you been, man? I ain't talked to you in a while. What's going on with you?
I've been working like a dog. You know, trying to grind out. I've been trying to – I'm serious. I've been trying to grind out this semester, you know. By the end of next week. My prediction is by the time that we have another show, the next show we do after this one, I will officially be on summer break. And that'll be a good feeling. That's the schedule I'm on right now.
Okay, that's what's up.
And that doesn't mean like the next show is in a month. I'm talking like the end of next week, I'm going to be on summer break. That's what I'm saying.
So what Key's really trying to say, people, is during the summertime, we're going to be coming at y'all more frequent, giving y'all more breakdowns, giving y'all more insight, giving y'all more topics. We'll be coming at y'all real hard during the summertime.
Yeah, that was precisely what I was trying to say. He just worded that a lot better than I believe that there's going to be a lot of shows in the summertime. A lot of shows. I mean, if Lee's not around, there'd be a lot of shows. I'll be doing a lot of shows. I'll be out here.
Oh,
I know Lee's going to tag
oh,
him
Oh, Lee's
going to
be around to start the first. Nah, I'm going to be here, man. On the time I'm not going to be here, man, it's probably the first 2 weeks of June because I'm moving. And then maybe a couple days in July. But other than that, man, I'm going to be here, man. But, you know, you don't need me to do no show, man, you know. That's how we roll. We got trust in each other. We're going to hold it down.
Yeah, no, for sure. They know that. You know.
Yeah, man. But look, man, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, but check this out, man. I got a concept for another show, you know, a little bit down the road. You know, I was driving home today in the car, listening to some old school hip-hop, and I was like, what about if I started my own hip-hop Hall of Fame? Who would be the first 5 to 8 guys or 5 to 8 groups or girls, groups of guys, or maybe first 10 that I would put in my hall, my hip-hop Hall of Fame? I was like, man, that'll make for a good show. What you think about that?
Yeah, I think that would make for a good show. It's you're saying like do the top 10 would be like the first part of it?
Yeah, like if you were to start your Hall of Fame, the Hip Hop Hall of Fame, the 10 people that you would definitely have to have in your Hall of Fame. No questions about it. Hands down, your top 10. Not nobody else's top 10. Your top 10 in your Hall of Fame. And I was thinking about that on the ride home. I was like, man. I said, we would have to have some guests on that one. We would have to have a summit on that one because that would be a good topic.
Yeah, this thing, see, but we got to try to not have too many voices talking. Cause
oh, yeah, no.
I feel like
we only can have
like
maybe about three.
Yeah, I feel like the list will I worry that it would turn into a debate about like what's hip hop and what's not, because the different people that like the different guys and girls that would be thrown in like from different people, I expect to be a lot of like very different lists, because like you said, not trying to throw
no doubt.
List. You see, that's the thing, is like, because that's a big thing with hip hop debates, is that when you have a group of people talking about hip hop, sometimes people forget to ask the question in the beginning, like, to make the statement in the beginning, like, all right, if we're gonna talk about this and we're gonna say like, all right, who's the top five, you know, in hip hop or whatever like this, or who is the greatest of all time or something like this, they don't state in the beginning, little disclaimer saying, don't try and impress us with your greatest of all time, or don't try and make it sound like what would be like the universal top five. Give your top five.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing,
yeah,
man. That's what bothers me about this.
Yeah.
No, hold up. Yeah. That's what bothers me about this, is because people don't even, they want to say guys are the greatest, and they don't even listen to these, like, I hope you feel good, like, for paying respect to that artist. You want to impress somebody, but have you ever listened to this? Like, you know what I'm saying, bro? Like, I know, like, all right, everybody knows this, and if you don't know this, I'm gonna say it again. Lee's favorite guy ever is Tupac. That's his favorite guy, like, in music, Tupac. I don't know all music, but in hip hop world, Tupac is his favorite guy. And I know for a fact, and I've heard it many times, so many people, like, you know, my age and, you know, through different schools I went to and, you know, different cities I hung out in, different, you know, cultural crowds and stuff, tons of people say that either Tupac or Biggie Smalls is the greatest of all time. And I honestly feel like that they just say that to impress other people. They say it to sound correct. They want to sound right, and they don't want to end up debating with somebody, so they just say a filler name, even if they don't even, you know, they don't even listen to that artist that much. Like, if you think he's the greatest, you should listen to him on the regular. Like, he should be in your rotation a good amount of time. Don't just throw it out there just to get respect. Like, I'd rather not get respect in hip-hop and say who I actually like than to try and throw out a name just to impress other people. I wouldn't say it if I didn't feel it. And in the last time,
if you
remember, I didn't name off them guys because I don't listen to them guys. I understand,
yep,
like,
sure
they
did.
Were influential, but I don't listen to them guys. So I'm not going to come out here and put on a front like I love their music, because I don't love their music. Biggie, I feel like I'm gonna tell you like this. If I put on a Biggie Smalls, right, I'm a like the first couple songs, but then it's gonna get real graphic. This is what I didn't like about Biggie's music. A lot of his shit like will be making, at least me. Maybe this is the way I am. I don't really feel comfortable like with a lot of the lyrics. The way he would rap sometimes, you put it this way, you would never hear me like talking a lot of the ways Biggie was talking back then. Like, for one thing I don't like about his music is the way that he talks about women in his music. Like, that has always bothered me. Just the way he like describes situations in his music and referring to women in the way that he does. That's one thing that's always really I disliked about Biggie Smalls, is that I don't respect it. I don't respect the way that it was treated back then. So I understand that was maybe how things were, and that's cool, but that doesn't mean that I have to agree with it. And I don't like it.
Exactly, so I get you.
That's one thing that I can't follow with Biggie's music. I think that I like his inspirational stuff, and I like where his stuff that he had a lot of heart in his songs. Like, my favorite song by Biggie Smalls probably is Sky's the Limit. Biggie Smalls' Sky's the Limit is probably my favorite song.
112, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good record. But, like, if you listen to it, that's the kind of stuff that I liked hearing from him. I wasn't trying to hear all this. I mean, I'm not from that, so I don't want to hear all this street shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't listen to street music. Like, that's not my life, so I'm not going to relate to that. I'm not going to try and condone that. You know what I'm saying? So why would I get out here and say, like, oh, this dude's the greatest? Like, to me, he's not the greatest. I mean, I understand. I think he's one of them. Like, he's very influential to the East Coast. Tupac's influential to the West Coast, you know, and there's new guys that they'll probably talk about down the line. But that doesn't mean that I have to think they're the nicest just because everybody else does.
Exactly.
My bad. You just made me go off on that topic. That wasn't even you were talking about.
I feel you, because I respect what you're saying, is because normally when you start talking about music, a lot of people just go with the flow instead of speaking their mind and their heart. Because, you know, like with me and you, with our age difference, of course, Biggie and Tupac could be probably in my Hall of Fame, but that's just because of my era. I mean, like, and probably in my era, I probably have Run DMC and Rakim in my Hall of Fame. But at the same time, that don't mean they're going to be in your Hall of Fame, because you probably not familiar with their music, or you didn't listen to them as much as I did. So, you know, man, like I said, and I totally 100% agree with you, is that when we if and when we do the show, we'll preface the beginning of the show by saying, it's this person's Hall of Fame, not the all-time Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I get you on that, man, because you definitely have to differentiate all-time greatest, you know, top five dead or alive and stuff like that, because then people try to, you know, how I want to say, they want to diminish your knowledge of the art if you don't choose people that they feel you should choose. And there is no right or wrong if it's music that you like. And I totally feel you on that. And you made a good point. And me being an old head, I get it, man, because I know, like, for me, a lot of people, they like to compare Tupac and Biggie. I don't like to compare Tupac and Biggie because of Tupac's work ethic compared to Biggie's work ethic. Tupac, they put out so many songs after he was dead that were fresh material. I mean, stuff he had already finished after he was gone. I think it was like maybe two or three albums of all his original stuff. And when Biggie passed away, there was nothing left behind except maybe a verse or two that Puffy dug up somewhere. But there was no complete work. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I think you can't compare them. But that ain't why we're here tonight, people. Me and my man Keys here tonight because You know, we haven't talked in a while. We haven't talked to you guys in a while. And, you know, we just want to gauge where both our heads at today and, you know, probably pick each other's brain. You know, hopefully, you know, spark your interest and get you to thinking. So, Keys, man, what's going on? Tell me what's good with you.
So I wanted me and Lee were talking earlier, and I told him I had a big topic I wanted to bring up, and it's funny because like the last like three or four shows, maybe even five shows, I don't even remember in recent memory, we haven't like been talking about the content we're gonna talk about before like prior to the show. We haven't done that like before. Like there was times we had done that like pretty consistently, so we already, because we would talk about what each other had been like intrigued by, you know, we would have that discussion just because we talked, and then on the show we would already both have ideas like ready for the show because we had already spoke about it. But now, you know, as of late, we haven't been doing that, and we really hadn't even been telling each other, we hadn't even been mentioning the topics we were going to bring up in the first place. So we were just freestyling, and we're still doing that. But this time, you know, I told Lee I had a big topic that I wanted to talk about, and he made me laugh because he came back saying, "All right, I got you, as long as it's not anything about Kanye." And I was like, "Man, I gotta scratch my topic, but it's all good because I have a plan B. I had another topic, another big topic that I was gonna bring up, but then Lee was like, "Nah, you know what? Like we don't shy away from any topics, so we can talk about that." I don't know how he feels about it at
this
time, but I get the plan B topic ready if that one's still you know, not
man.
To our show.
No, go ahead.
Not
like I told you
that.
When we were talking earlier, man, there is no topic that I'm never not willing to talk about. You know, because I think with the platform we have with our show and the way both of us are, you know, the way both of us, you know, the way we are as far as, you know, your age group, my age group, you know, we cool. And it's good that two different guys can have a constructive conversation about things that seem to divide society instead of bringing society together. And with Keith, when he brought it up, I guess me and him on this wavelength now, because as soon as he said it, I was like, Kanye. And, you know, it's cool. But I think I'm going to flip the script on Keys real quick, and I'm going to go outside the grain, and I'm gonna ask my man Keys a question, then I'm going to come back to the question he asked me. Keys, can you tell people what your definition of free thought is? Because Kanye, as of lately, he always been talking about he's a free thinker. What in your opinion, what does free thinker mean?
Alright, well, I'm not going to try and go too deep because, like, you know, and I'm going to answer the question in 2 seconds. It's just funny because, like, this is relevant, is that, you know, I was in, like, the listeners know, like, I'm in college. I was talking about, like, finals earlier. Like, they know about this. And I'm a senior and whatnot, so I'm taking, like, I got this portfolio class that I'm, you know, about to finish up. Actually, tomorrow I'm going to send in my final draft, my portfolio. I've been struggling about that for, like, a couple months. Shit is wild. But the point is that I was in class the other day, one of our last classes, and my professor said something to the class that really, it clearly stayed in my mind because I'm about to tell y'all what he said right now, and it's kind of crazy. It's not like it was so, like, mind-blowing what he said, but it was just, like, so, you don't, these kind of things we don't admit to ourselves. Like you think, okay, so what he said was he put up like this, you know, he put up like a trivial, you know, answer on the board. Like he put like a question to something, you know, right? He's like, all right, what's wrong with this? Like, how do we fix this? And everybody in the class, like, you know, was overthinking it and, like, kind of, like, trying to look stuff up on their phone or on their laptop, trying to, like, look for the other answer, like, that third-party answer, like, you know, go outside the box with it, you know, all thinking, like, it can't be that easy. And what he said, what the question was, like, what's wrong with this? Like, what needs to be fixed? Everybody's looked all through everywhere trying to find out what needs to be fixed about it. Just for him to tell us, he started laughing and he was like, guys, there's actually nothing wrong with it. Nothing needs to be fixed. It was that simple. He was like, the problem is that you guys, you kids, like at your age, you all think that you don't have the answer. He was like, immediately when you are given a problem, you just, you try to go, you know, you try and reinvent the wheel, you know, you try and go above and beyond to look elsewhere because you assume automatically that you don't have the answer, but the answer could be right in front of you, and it actually can be as it can be as simple and it can be trivial. It can be right there, and your gut could tell you the answer right there, and you could like you don't have to go out of your way looking for some other crazy answer. So that's basically what he said. It was like, you guys don't have to, you know what I mean? You don't have to. You actually, you just automatically think that you don't have the answer to things. You go out of your way to look for an answer. But when in reality, you're smarter than you think you are. You know, you guys are all very smart, and you can figure things out. You just tell yourself you can't. And it was pretty inspiring that he even said that, because it made me think twice about things that I overthink about when I don't have confidence in myself to, you know, figure something out or problem solve or whatever it is. And I'm trying to run myself back to why I was even telling you that. You said, oh, yeah, about the free thinking. So, like I said, is that I don't want to go outside the box. That was my point. I don't want to go outside the box trying to figure out what he meant by free thinking. But off the top of my head, I'm going to go with my gut answer, and that says that free thinking, to me, the way it sounds, is, you know, a lot of people, like, is just filling your head with really whatever. Like, you can think, you're not boxing yourself in your mind and, like, trying to think a certain way because you think that it's right. And you're just letting yourself be influenced by, you know, whatever is around you, and you're just taking it in, and you're just allowing yourself to think your own thoughts. And you're not trying to, it's basically like the ultimate form of speaking your mind. Like, you're just saying exactly how you feel, and you're taking in, you know, whatever it is, and you're not making judgments in your own mind saying, oh, what would they think about this if I say it? How would they react if I say it? Or, like, will they like it? Or is this the norm? Or is this, like, the universal thought right now? Like, is this what I should be saying? It's none of that. Like, you're not influenced. You're just saying exactly what it is, unfiltered, and you just don't care. Yep. I mean, you might care, but you're not worried about what people are going to say. So I think that's what Kanye means when he says free thinking. And actually, that concept itself, I really like it, because I think that funny how I said I think that it's healthy. Like, for if people were to just do that, I think there's a lot of problems out there that could be solved by people just saying how they really felt and say what was on their mind without worrying about how somebody might react, or how, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whoever it is, or your wife, or, you know, your neighbor or whatever. Like, if you just said exactly how you felt, like, oh yeah, maybe there'll be more confrontations than you might have liked, but you can avoid problems in the future by saying it now. And that's the thing that people don't like to admit, is that a lot of problems that we could fix sooner, they end up growing into much bigger problems later because we were too scared to address it at the first time. So that's what I think is free thinking.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I think when he threw out the term free thinker, I think a lot of people may have looked at it in a different light because of what he was saying and what he was putting out there. Because, you know, a lot of people just disagreed with a lot of things he was saying at that time. But a free thinker, to me, is like, let's just, I'm going to just say for me, growing up, my everybody in my family always preached that Democrats is the way we should vote. So when I grew up, all I would ever think about was Democrats are who I should vote for. Does that make me a free thinker? No, it doesn't. It makes me a person that follows what was basically put into my head as a status quo. But as a free thinker, I should always research, investigate, see what information is out there to help me make a better informed decision as a free thinker. As a free thinker, you know, I shouldn't allow my thoughts to be influenced by others or what others may think of me if I make a statement or decision, you know, things like that. I respect Kanye for bringing the free thinking thing to the forefront because a lot of people really don't think or act for themselves. They think and act for other people, or they think and act because they don't want a negative reaction from people in their circle or in their family. They don't want to be looked at side-eyed. Back to the example your teacher gave you when he put the things on the board, especially for men, when we see a problem or we see something that's perceived as a problem, we always want to try to come up with a solution. That's just our way. Because just say if your girl, she come up to you and she say, "Oh, man, I had a bad day today, Keys, la, 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 la." And the first thing you want to do is try to come up with a way to make it better for her. Well, basically, the only thing she want to do is just tell you that she had a bad day. She don't want a solution. She don't want a way to make it better. She just want to get it on her chest. But we as men, that's not the way we think. But, you know, man, I was kind of, you know, I was very disappointed in some of the things my man Kanye said, especially about the slavery was a choice thing. And, you know, I voiced my opinion on Twitter about that. Slavery was not a choice, first of all. Nobody ever wanted to be drugged from their homeland across the Atlantic Ocean, forced into bondage, forced to work 22-hour days, treated worse than the animals that they slaughtered to eat. That was never a choice. And the way he said it, he really meant it. And he was like, 400 years? For real? 400 years? That sounded like a choice to me. He had like all the slaves were in one place at the same time, and they could like get together and be like, "Man, I'm tired of this. Let's rally up and rebel." It wasn't like that. They didn't know no better. And then their kids was born into it, so the kids didn't know no better. So, man, it's just it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But at the same time, that's his opinion. That's the way he feel. That's up to him. But I just feel that his belittling of the press makes the situation even worse, and it makes him look ignorant to people of color who had ancestors who were slaves, you know, people who came over here as part of illegal trafficking, you know, people that, you know, came to America to try to find a better life for themselves and their family. It just makes him look, he don't look sympathetic or empathetic to the plight of oppressed people. And I don't know whether or not he's trying to, if he's going through some kind of mental thing within himself, but the people that's listening to our show, me and Keys, I wanted to talk about this, but I really didn't want to talk about it. But at the same time, I'm always willing to share my opinion with the audience. And I always try to put a positive light on every situation. Even though his comment was negative, the one positive thing about what he said is that don't let people influence the way you think. Your mind is your mind. If you feel a certain way, feel that way. If you want to do something, do it. But you have to be responsible for what you feel, what you do, and what you say.
I mean, it's I definitely think he, kind of countering what you, not countering, but like adding, building on what you said, is that he kind of put himself on a slippery slope talking about this, and because it's so much deeper, especially for him, it's easy to go out there and try to. I mean, when you have a big voice, people value that, and they want to say, oh, if this guy speaks up, about this thing, then now it's a real conversation, which is 100% true. That is absolutely true. I mean, but at the same time, is because if you watch the TMZ footage when Kanye he was talking to the guys in TMZ, and then there was that other gentleman who just busted through the door or whatever. He just came out of nowhere and he was screaming across the room. They were arguing across the room. It was kind of a respectful argument. I mean, it was definitely getting heated, but it was respectful. And one of the things the guy was saying was he was because Kanye was walking over to him and he was apologizing. He was "I'm sorry I let you down, bro. I'm sorry I hurt you with my words." And then the guy said to him, the gentleman said to him, he was "You got to be responsible, bro." He's "You got to be responsible with your voice. You got to be responsible, bro." He kept saying it. And that's so true, because it's 100% true. When you're on such a big platform, guys like Kanye West, when you say something like this, look, it already did. This makes a conversation. And one of the things that guy also said that was in the TMZ office was, because they were talking about how, one of the ladies in the TMZ office, and then Kanye himself said how, oh, there's all these marches, but then, when it's black-on-black crime, y'all don't care. And nobody want to, stand up or say anything. And then, the other lady was, adding to it and saying that, statistically it was a fact. And then the other dude who was yelling across the room, he was saying, because I watched, this whole video, if you can't tell. The other dude that was yelling across the room, he was yeah, I got it. No, that is a fact. Black on black crime is more than, whatever they were comparing it to. He was that is the most. That is the most. But he was the thing is that here's what they don't tell you. He was it's about – they don't – and here's what you don't hear about. It's about all the people who aren't committing any crime about, blacks that aren't killing other blacks. They don't tell you about these stories. He was they don't tell you about people that are, standing up and trying to make a difference, in their community and, putting on events and boots on the ground, working at this every day, people that dedicate their lives to, bettering life, and for these people. And you don't hear about this because, of course, they don't have the voice like Kanye West, you have.
Yep.
That's what the dude said, and he was so that's why he was we only get the side of it that, the violence and all the, the controversy and the, the non-peaceful protests and things like that, people that, they're not, people that resort to violence, that's what the news wants to cover, so that's the viewpoint that everyone's getting of it, but you're not hearing about, the people that are trying to make a difference because, sadly, maybe it's not deemed newsworthy. I don't even like saying that because it kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth too. I'm white. I don't even like saying that. The fact that I think about the concept of wow, maybe something peaceful is not newsworthy. That's one thing about my profession, which will be my profession, that bothers me, is that there are certain things that are deemed newsworthy and certain things that aren't. And from what I've seen so far, it's never it's more times from all the major media companies and news companies, like, you know, CNN and Fox News and, you know, Business Insider and, you know, all these things, it's like, you know, what they deem to be newsworthy, the headlines you're seeing there is either about what Trump said, some kind of act of violence, or, like, somebody that died. Like, that's mostly what those things talk about. Like, it's only those kind of controversies. You don't see anything else from those companies. And those are the biggest news companies in the world. That's the most influence that anybody – that's the most I don't want to say they're influential, but, like, I kind of have to say it too because they're the most seen because they have the most money. So they make themselves the most seen. That doesn't – like, and that puts another bad taste in my mouth about the, you know, the communications world is that, like, the companies that have the most merit, like, wealth determines merit, like, they put themselves in that position because they have money, not because that they have the best news reputation. Some of the best news organizations in the world, you know, fact-wise, like, fact-based news is none of those companies. Like, none of those companies, like, a lot of those aren't even up there. Like, those are much smaller level news that you never even heard of before. I think it was a couple of years ago. I was reading, I took a class, and the textbook had, like, a chart. I think it was from, like, it might have been from, like, 2011 or 2012. It's probably a little bit outdated at this point. But the number one for facts, the number one, like, fact-based news organization was a journal called The Economist. The Economist.
Oh, I heard of that.
You heard of that, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people in my class, like, had never heard of it. And I honestly hadn't heard of that until I read it. And a lot of people, most people in my class had never heard of it either. Like, we were talking about it for a while. And then my professor, like, went in detail a little bit about The Economist, and she was talking about, you know, the reputations of, like, the, you know, the, some of the top, you know, news organizations. And, but, like, those it's just crazy because, like, it relates to what the dude was saying is, like, you know, some of the most factual news and some of the, you know, best stories and some of the best people that are out there representing the content that everybody is arguing about and talking about, like, the good side of it is out there, but it just, we don't know about it, like, and we see all the bad stuff. So, I mean, I can't speak too much about, you know, I can't speak on really what he's saying about the Chicago thing. I mean, Kanye did say that, you know, everybody wants to march and stuff, like, when, you know, something, when, like, a, you know, a white cop kills a black man, but then, you know, thousands of people are dying in Chicago and you know, nobody stands up. I mean, I don't really know what to say about that because I don't know a lot about Chicago. If I haven't really, like, looked into something, I usually just won't even speak on it because I don't really know. Like, I like to feel like I'm backing something with, like, you know what I'm saying? So I can't really speak on that. But I do feel him, though. I mean, especially since that's his – he's from out there. So, of course, he's going to, you know, be affected by that. So, you can't really blame him.
Okay, but let's be for real, though.
He's frustrated.
Is he really in Chicago? Is he really living in Chicago?
No.
No, he isn't really living in Chicago. But the thing about Chicago is the point that he made about Chicago was actually a bad point because he tried to say Obama was the president of the what did President Obama do for Chicago? Obama wasn't elected to be the president of Chicago. He was elected to be the president of the United States of America. Now, Chicago, yes, is within the United States of America, but at the same time, he can't, if he was to take every city in America and try to fix the one main thing in every city, nothing would get done as far as the government. So I get it, you know, he was a Chicago senator, he was in the Chicago government, and then he was an Illinois senator and all that. But he wasn't elected to be the president of Chicago. He was elected to be the president of America. And the problem with Chicago is gun control. There are way too many guns in Chicago, and the guns have fallen into the wrong people's hands, and the violence is senseless. So once you get gun control under, you know, once they can contain gun control, then the violence in Chicago, we will see it go down. And until then, there's nothing basically people can do except, you know, write their congressman, try to protest against the NRA. But other than that, you know, there really isn't much the president can do about a city situation other than try to make laws that affect the whole country. And Obama did try to put in legislation to get gun control, you know, get certain laws to regulate gun control, but the Senate voted it down and the House voted it down, so he can't blame that on Obama. But, yeah, man, you know, Kanye, he has sparked a nationwide debate about certain stuff, and once again, I want to thank my man Keys, because this is something that I really didn't want to talk about, but at the same time, it's something that I needed to get off my chest, and this is the platform that we use to voice our opinion, be it right or be it wrong, it's our opinion, everybody's entitled to theirs, and we don't come on our show to try to influence your thoughts. We come on our show to talk about topics and give you our opinion, and hopefully when you listen to our opinion, it'll help you get a better understanding of what's going on, what we're thinking, and help you make either a better decision or help you to research a decision that you may have to make down the road. And, man, my man Keys, man, he helped me through a thing, through something today. And, hey, I want to say thank you, bro.
You know, of course, bro, you know. Like, if it was something, you know, in my case with, you know, you probably might have thought, damn, like, I bet you he was looking into this, and I bet you he was, like, I know this wasn't specifically about, you know, in your local area or anything like that, but, you know, it's important to you, and you were stressing about it. I mean, if it was like, for example, something like that was going down, like in Boston, I'm sure you would be like, you know, bringing up the topic to me, like, you know, something was happening. Like, damn, I know he's probably stressing about that. We're going to bring that up. So, of course, bro, you know, I'm in.
Yeah, but, you know, just to transition to something that was, and once again, for new listeners who listen to our show, me and my man Keys, we used to do a rundown, and we used to know what we was going to talk about in advance, but probably the last 3 to 5 shows, we've been coming off the top of our head, just talking about stuff, and normally it's been sports stuff here lately, you know, MMA stuff, you know, sports stuff, but today, you know, we want to talk about, you know, stuff that's going on in our world. And my man Keys, he doesn't even know what I'm about to ask him. But it's something that's bearing on my mind and actually kind of bothers me a little bit. But at the same time, I understand. Keys, how you feel about these teachers walking out in protest of, you know, the money they're making, the lack of support they're getting from the government? And, you know, how do you feel about that, bro? Because you're a college student, you know, you going to school right now, I've been to school, you know. How do you feel about the teachers doing this to maybe bring awareness to what they're being paid, bring awareness to what they're doing outside of the realm to educate kids? You know, how do you feel, man?
So I feel like you're talking about Arizona. Talking about Arizona.
Arizona, Colorado, I think it was Oklahoma. It's been in a lot of places.
Well, I mean,
I know a lot of, yeah, you're right. I know there's been a lot of that going on, a couple different states, but I just know that, I mean, I follow the news a lot. Like, I look at news headlines almost every day. And, like, when I said the Arizona thing, the reason why I said that is because Arizona had been, the teachers were stepping out and, like, they got their voices heard. You know, they protest, you know, better wages. And the last I had read was that Arizona was the farthest along because I think it was the mayor of Arizona. I don't want to say the mayor. Or, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not positive on that. But there was somebody of importance to Arizona come out and said maybe the governor. Yeah, the governor of Arizona. Why I said the mayor. All right. So, yeah, the governor of Arizona came out and said that they were I think it was like by 2021, around there, maybe 2022. I want to say 2021, that the teachers were going to get, you know, substantial raise in their pay. So they were going to be moving up, you know, exponentially, or, you know, we want to say gradually or something like, you know, but until 2021, they were going to get like, you know, 10,000 more a year, not 10,000 each year, but I think it's like 10,000 more or something like over like, you know, 3 years. So they were pretty far along. What I feel about it is that, it's good because I think it tends to – I never really thought too much about this because, like, I just – like, I think it might have something to do with, like, my own disinterest in, like, not education itself, but, like, the teaching profession because, like, honestly, I've never even once, like, seriously considered, like, going down that path, like, as a career. I never, like, thought of myself to be, like, a teacher. Oh, like, oh, maybe I should come back and, like, be a professor. Like, I never seriously considered that. You know, I had, like, poked fun at it in the past, but I never really, like, was serious about it. Like, damn, I think I want to be a teacher. Like, I've never even once thought that. And so maybe that's why I haven't been as interested in the idea of it. But I do think that it does send a good message to younger kids. And the reason I say that is because it's not even really about the money. Like, it's more about the idea behind it, you know, to me, is, like, because when you look at, you know, there's like, you know, really rich people in the country, and then, like, you know, when you have middle-class people, lower-class people, like, all different jobs, you get paid, you know, for different careers. And you know, teachers... Maybe, you know, college professors, I think, make, you know, a bit more. But I know at least, like, teachers at, like, you know, the high school level and lower than that, I mean, they don't really make that much money. Like, I mean, it's – I guess you could say it's a decent-paying job, but I wouldn't, like, put it too much further than that. You know, just being a teacher, a professor, I mean, you're not you'll be doing okay, but I don't really think it's that, you know, great of a paying job, especially for the job that you're doing. I don't think that they are compensated – enough for the job that they do. And the reason for that, I say that, is because it's for the same reason that I think it sends a good message to kids. It's because they need to realize that their teachers and professors, instructors, those are the people that they should be of high value. Those are the people that are leading, that are, you know, crafting your future. Those are the people that are going to be influential. Like, and not even just them, not even them as a person, but just, like, what they're giving you is like the foundation to your future and the rest of your life and your grandchildren too. Like, just think about where you'll go from that education and then what you'll be able to do for your family. And then, you know, what, you know, millions of other people would be able to do, you know, with that education. So I think the fact that they're stepping out is, you know, it's good. The kids, I think it's good for kids to see that. It's good for them to see, you know, teachers trying to step up and take themselves, you know, more seriously, because they should be taken more seriously. It's, that job is, you know, the most important job, like, to your kids. Like, what other thing is, I mean, what, the police? Like, you want them to get to know the police more than you want them to get to know the teachers? Come on, bro. Like, now that sounds like you know that they're going to be growing up around crime. So what, you want them to respect the police officer more than they respect their teacher? Nah, bro. Don't do that. That's the type of thing, like, I wouldn't even be hearing somebody saying that. Like, it's one thing to respect them, like, you know, public service, but the police officers, the firemen, you know, politicians, anything, none of those people are more influential than your teachers and professors that are educating your kids. None of them are in a more important position than the teachers and the professors that are educating your kids. And that's why I think that it's so great that they're doing that, is because it's kids need to see that. That's how I feel about it.
And speaking of that governor from Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, he's the same person that said there were hundreds of kids at home being sexually assaulted because they were out of school because teachers were being selfish and walking out. I could not believe he actually came out of his mouth and said that. He later came back and apologized for saying that, or said that he didn't say it, he didn't mean it in the way that it came out or whatever. But I'm with you, man, about the teachers. A lot of us are molded by what we're taught in school. A lot of us, you know, a certain teacher has had a positive influence on our life. And I know for me, my sixth grade teacher, Miss Evans, yeah, she was fine. Oh, my God, Miss Evans was so fine. She used to wear these jeans on Friday. Oh, my God, Miss Evans. But Miss Evans was hard. She was so fine, man. She used to wear these jeans on Friday. And, man, it was me, my homeboy Sean, and I want to say my homeboy Arlo. We all sat in the front row of the class because we stayed in trouble. But on Fridays, that was the best day to have that front row seat when she wore them jeans. Oh, my God, Miss Evans could wear some jeans. But back to Miss Evans, though. Miss Evans was hard. You know, Miss Evans, she was a hard teacher. She made sure that you knew she wasn't there to be your friend. She was there to teach you, give you knowledge. And, you know, whenever you would act up in class, you know what she made us do? Write pages out of the dictionary. You had to write the word, the enunciation, everything that had to do with that word, you had to write it. So normally, if you got in trouble, you had to write 2 pages out of the dictionary. Man, I ain't even tell you how many pages I wrote, but here in Colorado, it's kind of different, teachers, because if you don't know, I mean, everybody know, marijuana is legal out here, and the taxes for marijuana are supposed to go to education. But the way they disperse the money, the marijuana tax for education, is messed up. Most of the money for education goes to construction of new schools. It doesn't go to the teachers. Out here, the cost of living is very expensive, and teachers are basically making what the below what middle class make. So I understand it that teachers should be compensated for what they do. Because a lot of teachers, they aren't just teachers, man. You know, they are mentors. They are guidance counselors. They are football coaches, baseball coaches, volleyball coaches. They are some of their students' confidants. Some of their students can't afford lunch. They bring food to class for their students. They supply school supplies for their students, stuff that goes outside of the normal realm of their job. So we need to take care of teachers, man. Teachers need to be fairly compensated for what they do. And even though I think walking out is a little drastic, but sometimes you have to do drastic things to influence drastic change. And when they did it in Arizona, I was like, okay, you know, all right. Then Oklahoma, I think they did it in Oklahoma. And then when they did it out here, I was like, this isn't just a Arizona problem. This isn't just a Oklahoma problem. This is a nationwide problem that teachers aren't being compensated the way they're supposed to. And I think the federal government needs to step in, and they need to come up with a pay scale for teachers. Don't leave it up to the states, because states will always kind of shy away from the education side of it, whereas I think if the federal government was to just come up with, okay, teachers will make $75,000 a year, regardless of where you stand at, that maybe some teachers, that may be a way to, you know, get the profession back to where it was, you know, when I was going to school, you know, where teachers took pride in what they was doing. They weren't so beat down emotionally, you know. So, I love one of my favorite sayings that I don't know who came up with it, but I'm going to take credit for it, is positive people with positive energy will always yield positive results. And what these teachers did, they didn't do anything malicious. They didn't try to go out and hurt anybody. They didn't try to hurt their students. They let the people know that they will be walking out on certain days so people could plan in advance for childcare, you know, so the parents could make the necessary arrangements. And I respect that. So I think we as a society, we need to get behind our teachers, support them, do whatever we can to help them. And if you're a parent that has a child that's in school, be a parent. Teachers are not there to be a parent. Be a parent to your student. Help your student be the best they can be, both as a student and with their academics. Let's get behind our teachers. That's my two cents. It's more like a nickel tonight, but...
Yeah, we got a couple of things. We got some good pocket change right there, just thrown out. So maybe we might even build up to like a couple quarters. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, I never really thought too much about what I thought about that until you asked me. And then once I really thought about it, I was like, damn, that is so true. Maybe I'm biased because I've been, maybe I'm thinking that way because I mean, of course, I respect the education system. I've been in school pretty much my whole life. And I'm probably not going to go for the master's degree, at least not right away. I don't really want to, but like, I planned after this run to be done by like the holidays later on this year. By Christmas, I'll be, you know, done with school, graduating, you know, next year. But I mean, I respect, you know, everybody who's taught me something, you know. I mean, I think there's some teachers out there that maybe shouldn't be asking so much because they're not very good at, you know, caring for their students. I've had some pretty bad teachers, but I've had a lot of great ones too. So, yeah, they definitely deserve more respect than they get. And, you know, man, I also...
Well, you know what, like...
Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is with everything, you got to take the good with the bad. So, you know, but I think there are more good teachers than bad teachers. I know I have more good teachers than bad teachers. Even my biology teacher, man, my sophomore year in high school, Mr. Edwards, he was so old, dog. Mr. Edwards, he was like senile. He used to always shake. And, man, but you know what? He knew biology. It was like, if I had a question, I wasn't scared to ask him, even though, you know, I felt he was super old and, you know, times had passed him by. But when it came to biology, that old man knew biology like the back of his hand. Mr. Edwards, man. Good gracious. Sophomore year.
Yeah, man.
That was 1987, Keys.
Damn. I was negative, not negative. That's crazy. I was about to say, I was like negative 9 years from birth, but that's wild. I don't even think that's like makes sense mathematically. But yeah, I wasn't born until 96, so.
Man.
I wasn't even.
Yeah, thanks for making me
around.
Feel old again, but it's cool.
I wasn't around for Mr. Edwards. yo, speaking of, too, I just checked the score of the. I mean, the Cavs got them out of there, huh? I think they won by 18.
Yeah, they beat them. Yeah.
Your
boy's getting blown out by 20 right now. Celtics getting blown out by 20 right now. The Celtics.
Oh, really?
Yep, they're down 51-31.
Damn. Yeah, that's. I think that series is going to go 7 games as well. But that those Raptors, bro, I don't know. I mean, if they're going to go play 2 games in Cleveland, I don't know, man. That's if they win, even win one of those, that's what I know. That's what I'm saying. I think their spirit has been crushed, but if they even win one of the next 2 games, I'd be shocked. I'd really be very blown away by that. I just don't see it happening. I mean, if LeBron and Kevin Love, if LeBron and Kevin Love are going off the way they are in Toronto, then how do the Raptors expect to win in Cleveland? I just don't see that happening at all. Cleveland's going to be going nuts, being up 2-0, and then yeah, dude, that's a wrap. That's a 4-game sweep. Because Kevin Love, I think he was 32-11. So I was just checking the stats, and I was like, "Damn, Kevin Love, he's usually not this good." So even if LeBron don't even have to go that hard, I mean, Kevin Love could just be out there. Put him have Kevin Love in the bench, take it home, bro. The Raptors are just gonna blow it. You know, I always talk about mental warfare when we talk about the UFC. The Raptors are losing mental warfare, bro.
Exactly.
They really did. Like, there's no coming back.
Oh, my God. That is great.
Like they lost
great.
Mental warfare. There's no way they can go into the rematch and win the next fight. There's just no way. The spirit is crushed,
man.
Before they even throw a punch.
That is great
like
use of mental warfare.
Yeah, man. LeBron knows that mental warfare.
Well,
the thing
about Toronto is, Toronto is just, you know how like when you watch something and you know the other person is just better than the other person. And the person that's the best, they looking at it like, man, I need to destroy their spirit as fast as possible. That's what Cleveland is doing to Toronto. It's like Toronto, it's like when they see LeBron on the court, they just fold up like a folding chair. But I will I will say this, though. If Boston or Philly plays Cleveland in the next round, I think Brad Stevens is probably in the top 5 coaches in the NBA. Even though the Celtics are undermanned, they will not fold the way Toronto folded. And I think they will make it hard on the Cavs, but I think they will eventually lose to the Cavs because they just don't have the scoring that they will need to beat the Cavs. Philly, I think they would need Embiid to be a dominant big man in the paint. No, not shooting no threes, not shooting no turnaround jumpers. They need Embiid to go to work in the paint, and that's the way they can control Cleveland. But man, Toronto, mental warfare. as my little kids like to say, you guys have lost that battle more than once. Actually, if we keep a count, it's 8 games in a row in the playoffs. 8 games in a row in the playoffs.
What, to Cleveland?
Yep, they lost 8 games in a row to Cleveland.
Well, because I know last year they got swept in 4 games, so this would be 6-0 in their last 6 playoff games versus Cleveland. 0-6.
They done lost 8 in a row.
Yeah, man, that's terrible. That is just terrible. But yeah, the Celtics and the Sixers, I think that'll be a 7-game series. The Sixers are really good, man. I was saying that to my friends the other day, and they were kind of getting offended because I was like, man, I'm going to pull up. I was like, you guys, I'm going to pull up the playoff standings right now, and I just want to give you a rundown of what – two things. I was like, I'm going to tell you all what I think is going to happen, like what I think realistically will happen, and then what I want to happen, because those are two different things, two very different things. Because, you know, what I wanted to happen, which I don't really have much faith. Like, on the left side of the bracket, like, I was like, man, what I really want to see happen is the Pelicans knock out Golden State. That's what I want to see
happen.
Not going to
happen.
See, that's the thing, is that that's why I gave them two predictions, because I wanted to tell them what I wanted, even though I gave my realistic prediction after knowing that they will not be Golden State. Now, what's the other match? Oh, yeah, you got the Rockets and the Jazz. I feel like they might. I mean, I said I wanted the Rockets, and I think they'll win, realistically. But the Jazz been doing good, though. I don't know. The Jazz, if they came out of nowhere and beat the Rockets, that would really. That would actually really fuck up a lot. Like, that would really. That would, like, throw the earth off its axis or something, because I think that. That, first of all, that would just be a monumental upset for the NBA, because the Rockets are pretty sure, like, not just the number one. I'm pretty sure that they were the number one overall team in the NBA, number one overall record, number one offense.
Yep, number one team.
Number one everything this year. So for them, if they would have had an upset loss to the Utah Jazz, that would just be crazy. I just think it would just be such a big upset, and that would fuck up a lot, because then if the Warriors were to play the Jazz, it would appear as if the Warriors just had an easy match to enter the finals. And then, I mean, it's hard to see an upset with the Warriors these days, I guess. That would just suck.
Keys. But you can't say that, because if you look at the regular season, Utah have beat Golden State by 20. More than once this year. I think one time they beat them by 40. I want to say they beat them by 40 one time and by 30 another time. I want to say it was 40 and 30. But I know it was more than 20 both times. So,
hey,
it'll be interesting if Utah was to make it. So,
don't get me amped
up. Yeah,
man. They make it. If they beat the Rockets, I'm gonna be rooting for them to win it all. So I'm just telling you, if they would have beat the Rockets, would you tell me that I'm gonna hype the shit out of that series and I'm gonna watch every game? Don't get me amped up,
man.
I love that underdog.
Man, your Celtics down by 6.
They just come back. They went on a run.
They were down by 20 a minute ago. They were down 51-31 a minute ago. Now they're down 56-50.
Oh, well, that's the thing that's crazy. I've seen a couple games they've been doing that lately. They just go on a run out of nowhere. That's what happened in game one. They did that in game one.
56-52, Keys.
They must have. They must have had a nice talk in the locker room, and they come back out swinging.
Nah, they just went to halftime. It's 56-52 at the half. Oh, my God, Boston. See, that's one thing that goes unnoticed in the NBA. Coaching is a serious thing in the NBA. If your coach can coach and get you in the situations where the team makes plays or he draws up the right play at the right time, that don't have nothing to do. I mean, the players execute it, but the coaches empower the players to go out there and do what they can do. And Brad Stevens, oh, my God, I don't know how he did it this year with the Celtics without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. Marcus Smart has missed games. I mean, Jaylen Brown has missed some games. And, man, they are so fundamentally sound on defense, and they run the right stuff on offense. I like watching Boston play. I mean, I'm a Laker fan, and that's probably sacrilegious, but I like watching this Boston team play. I like watching them play.
Well, they say defense wins championships.
Yeah. Man, I love watching them play, man. But, you know, it's something else that I was going to tell you about. Have you had a chance to listen to J. Cole new stuff?
Nah, I haven't listened to it. Did you tell me about this?
Man, come on, man. I know you busy and all, but God dang, bro.
Did we talk about that the last show when I told you I hadn't listened to it? Or was that somebody
else? Yeah.
I hadn't listened to it? Nah, I still haven't listened to it.
Yeah, you still ain't listened to it.
Damn. You know what's funny, though, actually, that you say that? I actually saw the cover art, like, for the album. Like, I'm very big on, like, cover art. Like, I love, like, a nice visual for an album. Like, if you have a nice cover, it really attracts my eye. And I was on lunch at work earlier today, and I was walking back from lunch to the other side of the store, and I was walking by electronics. I seen a whole bunch of CDs, and J. Cole's album was on the rack, and I didn't even know what his album, like, I wasn't even thinking about the album. Like, I just happened to look by, a quick glance at the CDs that were on there, and the cover art of that album really caught my eye. And then I walked over to it. I actually picked up the album, like the physical disc. I was looking at the – people don't buy, like, physical discs. I was holding the actual album. And I, like, turned the back cover, and I was, like, reading the track list. So if that makes you feel any better, I actually picked up the album, J. Cole's album, and I stared at it for, like, 10 minutes today. Analyzing.
Man, first of all, that doesn't make me feel better. Second of all, I need you to listen to it because that album is so dope. I mean, if you don't listen to anything, actually, I'll just tell you three songs you got to listen to. Just go to YouTube and see whether you can find them. Listen to 1985, listen to Kevin's Heart, and listen to Motivate. Those are the three songs you can listen to, and you'll just be like, man, this dude is he's a lyricist. This is J. Cole. 1985, Motivate, and Kevin's Heart.
Damn. You gonna like throw me out the three best songs on the album, so then when I listen to the rest of the album, be like, damn, the rest of the album ain't as good as those three songs.
Actually, those are the three songs that I like. So you might like ATM. You might like KOD. You might like something else, but those are three songs that I like. And I know you like lyrics. So that's why I threw those three songs out there, because of the lyricism that he put in those three songs. So, but you might like some other stuff out there, because, I mean, he came with it, man. He came with it. They say he recorded the album in 22 days.
Wow. That's what's up. I mean, I don't remember ever being able to record a whole album in such a short time, but I know one thing is I've definitely in the past written, you know, like a whole gang of tracks, like for like a whole mixtape in 3 weeks. I remember I did that in the past one time. But that's when you like you're just locking in on the music. Like when you lock in on it every day and you make it a point. Like if I was doing that and like I didn't have any else going on, like J. Cole, like he can just go and I'm sure like spend that 3 weeks just going to the studio. Like he'll go hang like with his people and see his family, whatever, and he'll go back to the studio. Or he'll just stay at the studio and not see anybody. Like I don't when you're living that life, I don't see it being a problem for him to just camp out in the studio for, you know, all that time and just bang out the whole thing. Especially if he's got it all written. That would actually be pretty inspiring.
Yeah,
I'd really lock in on it.
Yeah, because I think while he was out on the road, he probably wrote most of those songs while he was out on the road. And then when he got back, you know, he probably did the production, came up with the beats. Because, you know, he produced and mixed and engineer all his stuff himself. He don't really use outside producers and stuff like that. So, you know, he probably already had the songs written. So I think he had to do is just come up with the production. So, but man, as far as the lyrics, man, he once again he's up there with Kendrick, man. Because you know my top. I think I had them ranked number one and number two as far as MCs on we had our previous show. I think I had Kendrick 1 and J. Cole 2. So he didn't disappoint. So when you get a chance, check it out, man. It's definitely a good listen. Definitely a good listen.
Yeah, I think in the next I don't want to say definitely, but most probably by the time we do our next show, I'll have listened to at least those couple of tracks that you told me to listen to. If not, have listened.
You know what?
Once I finish,
that's okay. What I'll do is after we get off tonight, I'm gonna send you the link to the song so you can have something to listen to tonight. I'm gonna send you the links to the song when we close out tonight. So, you know, you'll have those three songs to listen to.
Yeah, because you're just dying for me to hear them.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Dying for me to listen.
Especially 1985, dog. He's dropping jewels on that.
Yeah, see, I haven't heard some really lyrical stuff in a while. I haven't even listened to rap music or any hip-hop, anything like that in really a while. Somebody asked me the other day, what have I been listening to? And I was like, yo, I don't know anything. Like, I don't know no music. Like, everything I listen to is, like, from years ago. Like, I listen, and it's not even, I listen to blues. I've been listening to pop music. I've been listening to country music. Not really country, but similar style. I've been listening to jazz a lot of instrumental jazz lately. That's really been playing. I play that almost every morning, bro. Sometimes in the afternoon, too, if I'm tired. That jazz is just beautiful. So, yeah, I really haven't been listening to too much, like, lyrics, really, at all lately.
Man, you know what, man? You brought up an interesting point about jazz. Man, jazz is that music that, regardless of how you feeling, jazz just calms your nerves. You know, man, it calms you down, slows things down for you. I mean, especially because, you know, we live in a day and age where everything moves so fast. But when you listen to jazz, man, it slows things down. It mellows you out. And, man, especially when you are, like for me, I like saxophone. And sometimes, you know, if I don't like saxophone, you know, I like a good guitar when I listen to jazz. And I think it was Tuesday of this week, Man, I had called out Monday because I wasn't feeling too well Monday because, you know, my allergies were acting up. I was coming off a sinus infection. So when I went in Tuesday, I knew I was going to be busy. And, man, I just put on my little jazz playlist. And, man, everything just slowed down for me. You know, I got a lot done. Really, nothing really stressed me out. And I was just in a mood where I was like, yo, it's going to be all right. And it was because of the jazz music.
Yeah, man, it definitely mellows you out and makes you relax a bit more and not, you know, worry. Especially, I think, like the fact that I listen to instrumental jazz. Like, I know there's jazz singers and stuff like that. Like, I make sure I don't listen to music jazz with lyrics. I just listen to instrumental jazz, and I think not having the lyrics.
Yeah, me too.
For some reason, that I think that's a big element in why it's so calming, because I don't know. I guess it's something to me, or maybe other people can tell. I don't know. Just not having any. I mean, it's just instruments. You know, it's just sound. There's nobody talking. You can't really, and it and I feel like because when you have a song, the content that they're talking about is going to affect your mood most times than not. And if it doesn't affect your mood, at the very least, you're listening to what they're saying. So even if it doesn't affect
your mood,
you're still like focused on what's being said. If you're somebody who even listens to lyrics, I listen to lyrics. I mean, I know some people would just zone out to music and not listen, but I mean, there's still a clear distinction between music with no lyrics and music with lyrics. So, especially when you actually start listening to instrumentals, you realize there's a huge difference because you're not really given anything. You're allowed to just zone out and just, you know, ease into the music, you know? You kind of can just really, and I think that's a part of why like, it allows you so much. Your mind isn't really trying to focus on anything, so you're not really stressing yourself out in that way. You know, your mind isn't really. Your mind is just enjoying the music, and it's not really trying to keep up or understand anything. You know, and I think that plays a big factor.
Yeah, man. I mean, a lot of young people don't listen to jazz because, like you said, it doesn't have any lyrical content. There are no words. But with jazz, one thing you're supposed to focus on is the instrument. You know, focus on the instrument, the melody, the sound, you know, not on, you know, what's being said. Because traditional jazz has no vocals. But contemporary jazz, you know, most of the jazz today, you know, they normally have background singers. They may hire a big-time R&B artist to sing some stuff. But old-school jazz is not about, you know, the vocals.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, I saw a movie. I don't know. I think it was last year I watched it. They had a movie about Miles Davis.
Yeah.
They came out with a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out with a movie about Miles Davis, and I went to go see it with my dad. It was called Miles Away. Really, really dope movie. I would watch it if you haven't watched it. Really dope movie. It had
Was that the one with Andre 3000?
Nah, it had Don Cheadle.
Yeah, Don Cheadle. Okay, yeah. No, Andre 3000 was Jimi Hendrix. I'm sorry. Yeah, Don Cheadle was in that one.
Yeah, and he played the part really good. Like, he played that character. I mean, I don't really, I'm not, too, like, I'm familiar with Miles Davis like, as the artist, but, like, I didn't know, I mean, obviously, I didn't know him, so I don't know, like, oh, he played the part well. Like, I didn't know his character until I watched the movie, or, like, what he was actually like. So, I mean, I know him from music, but, I love Miles Davis music, but I don't he was awesome. But the movie really put it into perspective, and I was like, wow, like, this dude was really, like, a true artist. Like, this is the kind of artist that, like, you can't bother these guys. Like, when people are in this the way that he was, you can't bother him. Like, you got to leave him alone, let him work. Like, they let him do what he's doing. And it's funny because, like, he kind of had, like, his own little issues and stuff in his life and, like, things, you know, that he kind of, you know, vices that he would, you know, held on to. I'm pretty sure I could have sworn in the movie he was, I mean, he smoked a lot. I know there was a little, I think there was a bit of drugs in there, definitely. Some drinking was in there. And he kind of, dude would get, you know, pretty nice on the average. So, but I mean, I'm sure that, you know, that's a lot of artists, a lot of beautiful music seems to come from people who aren't really, don't have it all together. And sometimes they're not really, and they don't have it all. But when they do, you know, when they sit down and, I'm just so, Shaq was doing this weird face. Okay. So, yeah, when they sit down and they, you know, they have something that they're great at, though. And even when they're in that, I mean, I remember, I think it was Whitney Houston. They said that it was somebody that worked with Whitney said that, you know, through all her, you know, drug abuse and, you know, alcohol abuse, there was a time where she would go into the studio. Like, she would go in the studio for, like, hours and hours. Like, she'd be, you know, drunk or whatever, and, you know, taking pills or whatever she liked to do, right? And they said that, you know, she wouldn't be very good. Like, her voice would not be the way you would picture it for, you know, her reputation. You would think, you know, she goes in there and it's flawless because she, like, has a beautiful voice. But they said that, you know, she would actually do pretty bad in the studio, like, for most of her takes. But she would have this peak hour, which they would call, like, the golden hour. And she would just have 1 hour of straight perfection. And, like, that was where, like, it was just amazing, they said, you know, through everything. And that was, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's, like, some true artist stuff right there. Like, it doesn't even matter what's going on. Some people just, you know, they just lock in. You have a certain creativity, and it just peaks at, you know, the right moment.
Yeah, man, because, you know, man, one thing about having a gift, you know, a lot of people don't use their gift. You know, a lot of people that when they have a gift, they rather shy away from it because they don't want to let other people down. They don't want to share their gift. But the people that are they about to cut us off again?
All right, Keys,
man. All right, Keys, I'm going to need you to take us home because the last time they cut us off. So we don't want to keep talking and then they.
So you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
All right, so you know what I always say. We got to do it. We got to cut it off because they're about to cut us off, I guess. Maybe it's because we didn't sign up for that premium package or whatever. This Boston game is a shootout right now anyways, so we got to cut to that. So, you know, wherever you're at, turn on the Celtics game. You know, Marcus Smart just hit for three, you know, a couple of seconds ago. It was pretty wild. That was a highlight reel. And, then Philly just come back and, you know, they scored and then now they're running the ball back again. So this game is a war right now. I think Philly's a little scared because it's literally a 2-point game and it's still 10 minutes in the third. So this could really still shift. This, it almost seems like it's still. But anyways, you turn on the damn Celtics game, you know, and beware of tornadoes. You know, I told you about this. Some kid was playing Fortnite. Y'all heard of that game? He was playing Fortnite in his house and said that he heard heavy winds outside and he just thought that it was really windy and then he kept playing and then all of a sudden the roof ripped off his house and that's when he realized, like, oh shit, this is a tornado, this is serious. And then he like went and like ducked for shelter or something like that. That was in North Carolina. Isn't that crazy? But yeah, no,
yeah,
there are tornadoes, and stop reading about what Trump said, because that's some bullshit, and we don't live to read what he says. So yeah, cut that out, and stop reading. Actually, just stop even watching the news if you can. Just try to cut down watching the news, because everything is what they want you to talk about, and if it wasn't for that, you would live the way you want to. So maybe just try and do that. Sometimes I don't even like the fact that I'm in the industry, you know, that I'm even in the business, because I don't like the way the news manipulates people. So try not to watch the news.
That's why you're going to change it. That's why you're going to change it, Keys. You're going to be the big change in journalism, dog.
Well, yeah, that's what I strive to do. That's what I strive for. That could be another episode. But, yeah, also recycling lately. If you recycle, you might feel pretty good. I don't know. I've been really on a recycling kick lately. I've been literally recycling all my paper, all my plastic, pretty much anything that I think that I believe is can be recycled. But I've been recycling as much as I can, and I feel like if that's one thing that I can do, then that's one more thing that I was doing yesterday, because I wasn't recycling, you know, before and years before, and then everything just, they either just burn the trash or whatever they do to it, and we're just polluting the environment a lot more, and you know, we don't need to be burning plastic into the atmosphere. So that's, I mean, it's gonna kill us regardless. You know, we're too late, but I guess we can at least. Oh Jesus, somebody just, yeah, Philly just hit for three right there. This game's a war. So yeah, keep recycling. Turn on the Celtics game. Beware of tornadoes. Don't get addicted to Fortnite. And, yeah, shop small businesses. I'd say shop small businesses. That's my ending quote right there. And, yeah, call up 917-889-3251 and bring up a random topic so we can roast you. And, yeah, Lee, if you have any last words you want to say, to our guest calling up at 917-889-3251 to voice their opinion. Go ahead.
The floor is yours. All I gotta say is thanks for listening. Stay safe until next time. Me and Keys, you know, we're gonna bring it to you again off the top. No more rundowns. We're just gonna talk about what's on our mind. Tonight was a little bit more serious than we normally do. But sometimes you need to have serious dialogue when there are serious things happening in the world. And right now we're living in a time where people need to, you know, be made aware of such a situation. So that's what me and my man Keys did tonight. So thanks for listening. Be safe. And until next time, keep supporting our show.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Everybody have a great night. Howdy.